Welcome back to the show. And we're joined now by a guest who is no stranger to the FFA or to rural radio. For decades, country singer-songwriter Joni Harbs has entertained countless fans across the world, just recently completing an international concert tour. And if you're in Vegas, you'll even be able to catch her this weekend at the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. But she has deep ties to the FFA, ties that she credits with getting her to where she is today. We're pleased to welcome Joni Harbs to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with RFD, and certainly my pleasure to talk about the FFA today, a very near and dear organization to my heart.
So to get started, paint us a picture of where you grew up in rural Oregon, Joni, and on a farm that I understand is nearly 150 years old. Is that right?
Coming up 150 years, so it's pretty neat. My great-great-grandfather homesteaded our place in 1872, and through the years, it has raised just about everything out here. We've had everything from crops to certainly all kinds of different animals to Christmas trees, and, you know, it's still going strong. We're pretty much in the Angus beef cattle right now, but you know, it's certainly done a lot of good things on this piece of ground.
And at what point did you first encounter the FFA?
Well, my brother had been very involved, and so I knew about it from him, but he was 10 years older than I was. And so, you know, I wore his old FFA jacket until I could get one of my own when I joined, and I fell in love with it right off the bat and had some great advisors. And through the years of me showing my cattle and my actually horse projects there, they found out about my passion for music and encouraged me to sing at the Oregon FFA convention, which I did, and did very well there and ended up going on to nationals. And it was there that I met up with three guys that were from Hobbs, New Mexico, that had a little band, and then there was a gentleman from Michigan that played steel guitar. And so I had kind of played around with a band of my own here in Oregon, but not really, you know, some really great. That was the first time I'd ever got to work with a steel guitar player. And so we kind of made our own little unit there, and I had written this song, A Girl from the Country, and they asked if we would perform that at the last evening of the convention. And so, you know, there were thousands of blue jackets there to get out in front of, and we sang that little song that I'd written, and we got a standing ovation, and it was right there that I said, this is exactly what I was put on this earth to do. So it made quite an impact on me.
Well, talking about those thousands of blue jackets, that will make you come out of your shell in a hurry, I bet.
No, that absolutely helped me so much. That, and then I did several different titles of rodeo queens through the years. And, I mean, I suppose I sang at my first rodeo when I was 5 years old. I sang I Want to Be a Cowboy's Sweetheart, and I loved that then. But definitely the ability to feel comfortable and in just about any situation that you're put into was certainly made more comfortable by the FFA organization and getting the chance to, you know, perform and go to all the different functions that they did.
Now, you mentioned your time as a rodeo queen. Was that during the same time that you were in FFA?
Well, when I was a junior in high school, I was a princess of what they call the Malala Buckaroo out here. And then the senior year, I was queen of that. And then I went on to be Miss Northwest Rodeo and even went on to be runner-up for Miss Rodeo America. And I think the FFA helped me be ready to try for those rodeo queen titles as well, because I started that my freshman year in high school. So I'd had a couple years of FFA before I started doing the rodeo queen thing. And, yeah, it's just such a great organization in that, you know, it really, I think you just taught a lot of poise. You're taught how to, you know, really just know how to act in an interview or something. You know, I've never had an FFA kid come to something where they've had to get up and make a speech or introduce themselves or just make some sort of a presentation where they're not totally professional about it. I just think it really lays the groundwork in a wonderful way.
Now, we talked about your first big musical performance at the FFA convention, but going back, when did you first start to realize that you had musical talents and start to develop and grow those skills?
Well, I come from a very musical family. My dad got his first concertina accordion when he was in World War II and started entertaining the troops over there. And he was always extremely musical, though, and could pretty much play anything he picked up, just had that talent. And then my mom was really quite a good writer, and people would even save her Christmas letters that she would put together and send out, or frame them, or just keep them from year to year, because she had such a wonderful way with words. And so I really believe that a lot of my musical talent came from Dad, and the ability to write songs came from my mom. And my brother, like I said, played quite a lot too, Buck. He played guitar and accordion and banjo and piano and bass and lots of different instruments. And then my sister, Chris, played the piano. And she was 11 years older, so I think I came along at a little bit later time, and you know, who knows if I was planned or not, but I'm happy that it worked out, and they all were playing already, so when I came on the scene, it was just kind of like a natural thing that I would join in and sing harmony right off the bat and sing some other, you know, songs. Mom taught me several songs, and like I said, I sang at my first rodeo at 5, and then it was probably 8 or 9 years old that I got into to band. I played the saxophone and the clarinet, and then I took piano lessons and really kind of discovered that I really enjoyed the guitar. My brother Buck taught me a little bit on that, and then I just kind of learned the rest on my own. So I think, you know, I think the musical ability from Dad followed some in that I can hear a song and learn to play it, and really I'm not much at being able to read music. It's just mostly by ear.
Joni, can you remember anything specifically that made you want to take your passion for music from just a hobby into something that you'd pursue professionally?
Well, as I said a little earlier, I think really a huge turning point for me was standing on that stage at the FFA convention. And, I mean, it just was a feeling like I had never experienced before, having that standing ovation and having those kids come up to me afterwards and saying how great that was and how much they enjoyed the song and you know, wanted to hear more. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is my thing. This is what I need to do. And I never had a second thought about what style of music, of course, it would be. It was going to be country all the way. And so, you know, even when I got my first record deal with Mr. Jimmy Bowen on Universal MCA, I said, you know, I really am a pretty country girl. And I, you know, I really would like to do pretty traditional country music. And it was a little bit of a challenge sometimes at that time, because it was, you know, country music was just starting to get a little bit more pop. But I pretty much stuck to my roots and then got the Warner Brothers deal where I did the Cowgirl Dreams album. And that album, I feel, is totally who I am and what I'm all about. And so once we got that one out there, I just continued on with very similar albums, write all my own music, or co-write if I don't write it myself. And I just feel like I am really making the kind of music that I want to make, and for the people that like the kind of music I like. You know, there's not for everybody, but I really like the real classic country and Western, I guess, myself.
And when did you first think to yourself, I've made it?
Well, I still think I'm going after my dreams. But I had made an album on my own in my house that I had purchased in Salem. So that was my very first album that I did. And then I did another album with some hop farmers, actually, that encouraged me to do another record. And so I went up to Portland and used a studio there and did the I Wanna Sing For You CD and started selling quite a few of those. And I was not doing any other occupation at that time other than going to a lot of resorts and playing my music and writing my songs. And it was those same hop farmers that then encouraged me to go to Nashville and took me there, and I met up with a great producer by the name of Byron Gallimore. He produces Faith Hill and Tim McGraw and many others now. And he did a 4-song demo with me that was what really got me my record deal with Mr. Bowen. So through those years, I guess I would say I started to realize whatever level that I was going to be able to take it to, that was what I wanted to do, as play music.
Well, you've put out 13 albums since 1985, the newest being aptly titled Lucky 13.
Right. And I always said if I got to my 13th CD, I would call it Lucky 13 because that number's been a lucky number for me. So when we got the opportunity to record it, I wanted to make sure I did 13 songs. These are just a few, in fact. There's been numerous things. But my dad, as I said a little bit ago, had served in World War II. And when he was finally released, he was released at Dock 13 on November 13th. And I remember him telling me that when he got out of there, that all he really wanted to do was get back to the ranch and, you know, just get home. And then my daughter, Olivia, who is now pursuing music as well, was born on June 13th in room 13 at 1313, 1:13, military time, you know, 1313. So that kind of really clinched the deal and said, okay, this is almost spooky that number is so, you know, all over the place with her birth. And so I definitely said it's a very lucky number.
Well, the lead song on that album is called Bless the Farmer and carries a message that I know many of our listeners can identify with.
Well, thank you. I'm very proud of that song. And, you know, I guess it's just getting to travel around the world. I see farmers everywhere and, you know, thank goodness for them everywhere. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have food on our table. And I think a lot of times, unintentionally, but folks don't really remember that enough, that they need to really thank the farmers for getting that food in the grocery stores or in the restaurants or whatever for us to all make sure we have plenty to eat. And it is a grueling 7-day-a-week job that you know, they go through. I've lived through many years of seeing all kinds of different situations for farmers and ranchers, and I'm very proud to be part of it.
Now, you always keep a very busy schedule, so where can our listeners go to find out where they can catch you live or maybe even buy the new album?
That would be great. Well, Olivia and I are both on Facebook and Instagram, but really the best place is just to visit my website still, which is pretty simple. It's just www.joniharms.com. And, I've try to keep people pretty filled in there on what's going on. We've got a lot of videos on there that people can watch from some of my music, and certainly all 13 CDs are available.
So finally today, what advice, Joni, might you have for someone looking to break into a career in music or for a student who's looking to make their way in the FFA?
Well, that's a great question, a couple of them. And certainly both of them, this applies to, and that is that you just have to follow your dreams and dream big. Don't settle. You know, I mean, it's not impossible to reach those goals. It just takes a lot of hard work, and certainly, you know, the FFA is one that can help coach you to get to where you want to go. But with music, I would also say that if you can pick up an instrument and learn to play it, I think you should also try to write some of your own music. And then don't try to be somebody else. I think you need to just be an artist, and that's, you know, there's already Garth Brooks and George Strait and Reba McEntire. They're already there, so we don't need more of those. We need a brand new person that has something different to share and to give. And so I think that's be patient, because it doesn't happen overnight. That's a lot of times, you know, they make it sound like it's overnight success, but that's really not the truth. It takes a long time to build and develop a style where you can be ready to present it to a record label and go out and record some of your own music. And then as far as the FFA, again, just follow those dreams and get involved in FFA as much as you can. You know, be an officer, get into several different projects at the fair, and, you know, show as many different things as you can, and just take part, because there's so much it has to offer. So, you know, you can just take in as much as you can and learn from it, and it will really help you reach your goals.
Well, great advice all around. And Joni, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today.
Well, it was my pleasure, and hope that we can keep in touch and do another interview one of these days.
And again, to buy the new album, Lucky 13, or catch Joni live, just visit joniharms.com. That's JONIHARMS.com.